This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. Some good news about the environment. Even though the destruction of the Amazon rainforest continues, a new study says many countries around the world are reversing the long-standing trend of losing forested land. According to the report, in the last 15 years, forested land has increased in about 20 countries around the world, and instead of cutting down the trees, those countries are adding acreage. Joining me to talk more about it and how we might get more countries to follow suit is Jesse Ausubel, director of the Program for the Human Environment at Rockefeller University in New York. He joins us here in our New York studio. Welcome back to Science Friday.
Ira, it's good to be on America's Best Radio Program.
Thank you very much. Tell us about that. We're under the assumption that these forests are decreasing around the world, but your study says that there are some places where they're increasing.
About 10,000 years ago, when human populations started to grow, they started to spread an epidemic of deforestation. And that's continued. But reversals have occurred. The first forest transition, as we call it, that we could reliably identify was in France in 1830. And the forests of France have grown since that time. And in our most recent studies, looking at over 200 countries, we found that over the last 15 years, 69 countries now have increasing forests. 92 still have decreasing forests. But going from one country with increasing forests to 69 suggests a hopeful trend.
But is the trend still on the negative side? Are we on the negative side of the ledger?
The global balance is negative. Yeah. If you subtract Indonesia and Brazil, then the world's forests since 1990 grew by 2%. So the rest of the world besides Indonesia and Brazil grew. But the absolute losses in those two countries is large and tragic.
Where would you see the biggest increase or the best increase?
The biggest increase in area has been in China, very important.
Really?
Yes. Both China and India registered gains since 1990. If you had said to experts in the area, in the field in the 1950s or 1960s that by 2005, 2006, the forests of China and India would be growing, most people would have said, I'll bet against it.
Yeah.
But that's one of the really remarkable facts. People aren't that surprised that the forests of the United States or Ireland are increasing. But since 1990, countries like India and China, also Turkey, even Ivory Coast have had increases in their forests.
Now, you would think because of urbanization and because of industrialization, these countries would be chopping down their forests and making room for things. But have they made a decision? Has this been a real decision not to do that?
In some cases, there have been real decisions. Certainly, there's been a big cultural shift. If you think back to your childhood, if you read the Brothers Grimm, forests were scary places and jungles were threatening.
Right.
And certainly, the whole cultural attitude in most countries of the world towards woodlands and forests has changed. So now it's much more positive. And that's been reflected in government policies. But we also see a shift from a pre-industrial economy where people were clearing land to grow crops to an industrial economy where people chopped down forests for railroad ties to a post-industrial economy where more people live in cities and more people get their news over the radio or on the internet.
Mm-hmm. Now, you did mention the negative side, and one of the negative places being the tropical rainforests of Brazil. Is there any way to get them to turn there, to join the rest of those growers?
That's certainly the key to achieving a global reversal over the next two or three decades. The losses in Brazil reported for 2005 were actually the smallest losses in some time. So we hope that Brazil actually is heading back towards equilibrium and then increase. And there are some other countries that are hopeful in that regard. Again, I would comment on India.
Yeah, India too is...
And both India and China have temperate and tropical forests, of course.
Is it really possible to compare the biodiversity that you have in a rainforest loss with what you might have in other, you know, hardwood forests or pines or whatever we're talking about?
I would emphasize the contrast between young forests and mature forests. If you're a gardener, you know that when you plant a garden in April or May, it's pretty spindly and sad. But by August or September, it can be rich and lush. The new forests, whether they're planted deliberately or just regrow because land has been abandoned, for the next 30, 50 years, they won't be nearly as rich as the more mature forests or the tropical forests. Mm-hmm. But in 100 years or 200 years, there is a chance of real restoration. And we have to start somewhere.
1-800-989-8255. Let's call talk with Adam. Hi, Adam. Welcome to Science Friday.
Actually, I have a question concerning what you were just talking about. Is there any data showing how much of these reforested areas are plantations, which often grow to a certain degree and then are recut at a later point but have a much lower diversity than
plywood out of
it area?
Yeah.
There's a lot of data about plantation forests. Plantations it's a way to farm wood. I think we're heading toward bifurcated forests in which probably 80% of the forest will be logged very little, and 10 to 20% of forested area will be used heavily for wood products. The great thing about the plantation areas is the productivity can be very, very high in the same way that you can grow a lot of corn on a few hectares. So if you have what we call precision forestry, where you use inputs very wisely, water and so forth, and you can grow a lot of cubic meters of wood on few hectares, then that allows you the chance to spare other areas, very large areas of woodland and forest for nature.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Thanks.
1-800-989-8255. The chief of forest resource development at the United Nations expressed some reservations about your conclusions, and I mentioned it in a story in the New York Times. I'm sure you're familiar with it. And he said, paraphrasing it now, that it's hard to be confident about the positive indications of your study because there's a lack of good data about forests in many parts of the world. How do you respond to that?
We're using the best data available, and we're using the same data that people have been using to express worries about deforestation for many decades. The chance to improve the data sets is certainly there through satellites and through people going out with tape measures and actually in situ measuring the circumference of trees. We certainly hope that the publicity associated with our study will encourage more countries to produce better and more reliable and more frequent data about this. We really want to encourage a restoration of forests. It's not just a matter of stopping deforestation. Our vision is a great restoration of nature.
How do you see the trend in global warming affecting the future of forests? Is it going to change the nature of what's growing? It's going to move some cold weather ones higher up north or eliminate them from the lower latitudes? Is forests going to benefit in general from added CO2? What do you think about this?
The numerical models that make maps of future climate don't agree with one another. So,
surprise!
there's more rain in some places, less rain in others. I think the encouraging thing from our study is that the regrowth, the areas and the areas that have potential regrowth, are widespread. So I think it's very likely that in some of these areas, whether it turns out to be in China or in Canada or in Argentina, in some of these areas there's likely to be enough rainfall in particular that the forest can regrow. Certainly the expansion of forest is good news for environment. If the forests regrow, it means that the addition of carbon dioxide, the key greenhouse gas, to the atmosphere will be slower than otherwise feared. And, of course, it provides habitat to protect tigers and moose and whatever else.
And lions and bears. Let me ask you about are there campaigns to go out and actually plant trees? Are they planting trees in bare areas or are the forests sort of expanding on their own without being cut down?
I'd say it's a mix of the two and probably about equal amounts. Mm-hmm. In many parts of the world, agriculture is actually contracting. It's hard to grow profitable crops. Mm-hmm. And in many parts of the world, people are leaving marginal agricultural areas that were once wooded, and those areas are just reverting on their own to woodland. In other areas, and China is a good example of this, the government has chosen aggressively to send people out with seedlings and plant them, especially in areas, steep hillsides where you've had problems with soil erosion and water flooding. And so it's a mix of both.
Did the countries talk to each other about this? Are they cognizant of what the other ones are doing and get embarrassed perhaps into joining the crowd?
Well, we propose by 2050, we would like to see an addition of 300 million hectares of land as forest around the world. That's roughly the area of India. And we would like to see, I and some of my associates would like to see some kind of shared vision around the world, including from government leaders, that by 2050 the world would increase its forest area by this substantial amount.
Mm-hmm. Is there a way to prevent the deforestation by insects and pests and things like decreasing that? Is that part of the effort?
It's very hard to control those things. You've probably heard in recent years about the forest fires in Spain and Portugal. Well, Spain and Portugal were largely deforested. That's mm-hmm. one way to reduce your forest fires. As the forests have grown back, of course, the mm-hmm. Chance of fires or blights from pests goes up as well. The management of forests is challenging,
yeah.
And there are many, many disagreements. You know, should you build roads?
Right.
Should you allow the fires to burn? We don't really take a position on that. Our main point is that there's a chance. Well, we think the reversal, this transition from deforestation to afforestation globally, is near. It's in sight. And we think then, in turn, mm-hmm. we should go well beyond that to a big restoration.
Can you give us an idea of where the U.S. stands in this and where places that are expanding in forests might be in this country?
Well, in volume of wood, actually, the U.S. has been number one in increase since 1990. China has led in area, but in the cubic meters of wood, the U.S. has had the biggest growth. Anyone who flies in an airplane from Boston or New York to San Francisco or Seattle or Los Angeles can see the picture. If the Wright brothers could have flown, New England was just all farmland. It was
right.
Wheat and dairy and Pennsylvania and a lot of Michigan, Minnesota, and these areas have had massive regrowth. Vermont went from being 90% agricultural land in 1900 to being 90% forest now.
Wow. Jesse, we're going to have to stop there. I want to thank you very much for taking time to talk with us. It's very interesting.
Pleasure.
Jesse Ostabol is director of the Program for the Human Environment at Rockefeller University in New York. We're going to take a short break and come back and change gears and talk about the Neanderthals. So stay with us. Don't go away. We'll be right back after the short break.